May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one that we adore, we worship, we bow down before His feet this very day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Luke 7. Pray with me. Lord, Your word is sweeter than honey to our mouths. We pray that You would feed us with Your sweet word of mercy that You gave to David, that You gave to the sinful woman, that You've ever given to us. May we hear that word of forgiveness and believe it and be justified by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk about something that's very important here in the South, something that Southerners are proud of. You want to be known for this. Not average football, all right? That's another thing. I want to talk about hospitality. Are you proud of your hospitality here? Good old Southern hospitality? Or did Southerners become mean? No, you're still very, very nice. Very kind. The gospel today, Luke 7, is about hospitality. How does one treat Jesus, the Son of God, when He comes into your house? How do God's people treat Jesus this day in this house? And there is a great contrast between the hospitality of the Pharisee named Simon. This isn't Simon Peter. This is a Pharisee named Simon. There's a contrast between his hospitality towards Jesus and the sinful woman's treatment of Jesus. And so as we hear that text, as we read it, we are led to examine ourselves. How do I treat Jesus? Am I like Simon the Pharisee, or am I like the sinful woman? What's my attitude towards Jesus? What's my attitude towards His word, towards His sacrament, towards prayer and praise, His house? How hospitable am I towards Jesus? There are three great differences I want to note between the hospitality of Simon the Pharisee and the sinful woman. And again, who are you in the story? First of all, one big difference, the sinful woman, when she comes into the presence of the holy Jesus, she does what? She cries, and she cries, and she weeps, and she cries. That's how you treat Jesus. Whereas Simon the Pharisee, he is conceited, proud, arrogant. What about you when you come into the presence of the holy Jesus? Do you cry, or are you conceited, kind of proud and arrogant? God's lucky to have you here after all, because you're so good. Simon, at the beginning of the text, looks like a pretty good guy, doesn't he? He invites Jesus over to dinner. It's a nice thing to do. And then he allows this sinful woman in his house, too. How that happens, we don't really know. But he allows her to come into the house, too. Looks like a pretty good guy, but quickly, we see how proud and arrogant he is. The woman is weeping over Jesus' feet, kissing his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And how does Simon react when Simon sees this happening? Should ask, how should have Simon reacted? He should have joined in. That's how he should have reacted. Move aside, lady. Let me cry over his feet too. I'm a sinner too. Let me wipe his feet with my beard. For this is the Holy Son of God, the Messiah, and I'm a sinner, and he's in my house. Let me cry over his feet too and confess my sins. That's what he should have done. But rather, he is good old, conceited, arrogant Simon the Pharisee, and he mutters to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. He thinks he's better than this woman. And in a way, he thinks he's better than Jesus. This is his great arrogance. He questions whether Jesus, who is the Son of God, is even a prophet. If he was a prophet, if he really was a spokesman of God, he wouldn't allow a sinful woman to touch him. I'm not allowing this woman to touch me. So I must be kind of better than Jesus right now. How dare the Pharisee? When we come to God's house, when we gather here and we're together as a family, do we spend time looking around and comparing ourselves to others? Well, I'm better than that person over there. They don't give as much money as I do. So I should have a little more power and a little more say. They don't dress as nice as I do. Why are they here over there? Who are they? Why are they in my pew? They don't know how to sing the song. Why'd they come to our church today? They don't serve as much as I do. Their name's not listed everywhere like mine is. They don't give as much as me. They're not as good as me. Is that what you do when you come? Puff yourself up because you think you're better than everybody else? Repent. Repent. You're no better than anybody else. We're all last sinners, the worst. The woman is in great contrast. She is crying at the feet of Jesus. Simon standing up. If he were a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. She's on her knees crying at his feet. That's where sinners are. That's how we approach the Son of God. She realizes that Jesus isn't merely a prophet. She realizes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the holy God of Israel now in her presence. And how can she? All she can do is bow down at his feet and cry over her sins. What stands out is her great humility. Her great, great humility in the presence of her God. She wipes her tears with her hair. A woman back in that day would never have her hair down. She'd always wear her hair up. But she becomes very immodest, if you will. She lets her hair down. She's not trying to put up a front. Are you trying to today? Look how good I am, God. God sees right through that baloney. Lets her hair down. She's a sinner. And she cries over her sins. And not a little bit of tears. She cries and cries so much, there's a whole bunch of water all over his feet. When's the last time you cried over your sins? You know, I was watching the hockey game this past week, the final hockey game between Chicago and Philadelphia. And I'm not a hockey fan, but I was watching because there's nothing else on. And it was the final game, and the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, and they were cheering and going crazy on the ice after they won. And I remember they had some guys, the spokesmen, you know, the guys that were talking about the game, announcers. And one of the men was this big, burly guy who used to play for the Blackhawks. I don't even know his name, but he used to play for him. And now he's older and he's an announcer. And you know what he was doing? He was crying on TV. Tears from a big, burly hockey player. And Dan Patrick, the main announcer, said, "This is really touching you. You're crying." He goes, "Yeah, man, it's the Blackhawks. We haven't won for 49 years. You know, it's touching my heart." And he was crying. Guess who else was crying? I was crying a little bit. And I don't even care about the Blackhawks. But hey, you know, yeah, it's kind of touching. You know, we cry over silly stuff like sports. We can cry over illness. That's okay to cry over. We cry over grief. It's okay. It's okay to cry. When's the last time you ever cried over your sins? Really wept over how we've let down God. That's how you treat God. Secondly, a contrast. She gives her best to Jesus. Simon the Pharisee gives the least. She totally adores Jesus. But Simon's kind of apathetic and kind of cold. Notice Simon in the text, he invites Jesus over, but it seems like he hardly does anything for Jesus. You wonder if he even gives him any food. Jesus mentions the little bit that Simon does or doesn't do. He says, "Simon, you didn't even give me a kiss when I entered your house." That was common courtesy back in that day. You know how Middle Eastern people kiss each other on the cheek and greeting? It's like our handshake. If you invite somebody over to your house, you don't shake their hand? You're not even glad they came? It's basic courtesy. Jesus says, "You didn't do that for me. You didn't give me a kiss." Then he says that she's washing his feet. And that also, and he says to Simon, "You didn't even wash my feet." Again, common courtesy is that you had some kind of water there and a slave or whoever would pour that water over your dusty, dirty feet. Common courtesy. It'd be like us offering someone a seat in our house. "Hey, come on in. Have a seat. Can I get you a coat?" It's just common courtesy to do that if you invite somebody over, isn't it? Simon doesn't even do that for Jesus. No ointment either. It was common in that day when someone came over to your house, you put a little perfume or ointment on their forehead. It's like an extra special gift. "You're important to me. You're my friend. I like you. Welcome." He doesn't do that either. He does the least. Doesn't even have any food for Jesus at the meal, you wonder. Why do you even invite Jesus over? Maybe I suggest a show off. "Look at how good I am. I got Jesus, the great prophet, here. Isn't Jesus lucky to be in my house?" He gives the least. What about you in God's house today? Do you come and go through the motions? Don't even open up your hymnal to sing to your God, your King? Do you sing? Do you sing loud? Do you participate in the liturgy with all your heart, soul, and voice? This is the God we're worshiping. It's not monkey business. Do we give an offering? Do we pray? Do we concentrate on the Word of God and spiritually digest it in our brains and our heart? Do we partake of the sacrament with faith and joy and we're ready to leave to serve the Lord? Or is it just going through the motions, ho-hum, a nice, warm, summer Sunday? We're led to examine ourselves. Are we like Simon doing the very least, just showing up to try to get some brownie points? The woman does her best. She gives the most. She gives this ointment on Jesus' feet, we're told. Most Jewish girls in that day would get a little flask of perfume or ointment from their parents or maybe from their husband. She's probably not married. She's a sinful woman. She's probably a prostitute. So she's probably not married. She probably got this little flask of perfume from her mom and dad. It was very, very important to a Jewish girl. It'd be like them getting a ring from your mom or dad. Very important to you. You know, it's very special. You wear it. You keep it safe. She would wear that around her necklace, which Jewish girls would do, and she gives the whole thing to Jesus. Pours out the ointment on his feet. She is saying, "You're my King, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my God. I love you. I'm here to serve you. I give you my life, not just the ointment, but my heart, my mind, my hands, my feet. My life is yours. I give you everything, my best." She's like the widow giving her mite, giving her best, not the least. I read where someone won a new car a couple weeks ago. You know how they won a new car? They rode on a roller coaster 160 times a day for 10 straight days. Now, high school youth, how many of you would do that? Joe, 160 times a day, riding a roller coaster 10 straight days for a new car. Depends on the car, right? And the kid did it. Won the car. You know, we will go the extra mile. We will make every effort for a lousy car. Will we go the extra mile for Christ, for our neighbor, out of love and in humility without wanting brownie points and a show of all of it? Or do we give the bare minimum and get by? How do you treat Jesus? How hospitable are you to him? The final big difference that stands out in the text is that the woman, amazingly, shockingly, the woman is declared righteous by Jesus, forgiven of her sins, whereas Simon is left rebuked. This is the great shock. This is the Pharisee, well-known, high status, and yet he's rebuked by Jesus. Whereas this sinful woman, a prostitute, is declared righteous. You're forgiven of your sins. Amazing. She's forgiven and he's not. The highlight of the story is not really what the woman does. The highlight of the story is what Jesus does for the woman. He offers the best hospitality here. He takes over the home. He's a guest in the home, and he takes over the home, and he offers the best hospitality. What does he say to the woman? What's he say to her? Underline this. Put an exclamation point behind it. This is the key to the text. He says to the sinful woman, as she's there on her knees, begging, weeping, he says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now that's hospitality from Jesus, the Son of God who owns the earth. Your sins are forgiven. Say it with me. Your sins are forgiven. Hear those words and believe them. Jesus does a whole lot more for her and for Simon. Forgiveness is for Simon too if he'd repent, but he's not repenting right now. It's for him too if he would repent and receive it. He does a whole lot. Jesus does a whole lot more for her than she ever does for him. She washes his feet with her tears, but he would do a lot more for her. He would wash her feet, her hands, her head, her heart, her soul with his blood. He did it for you and I too. That's hospitality. She pours out some perfume on him. Wonderful, good thing to do in Thanksgiving. He does a whole lot more. He pours out the Holy Spirit upon us when we're baptized. He pours out forgiveness upon us every day. He pours out his blood and his body and gives it into our mouths this day. He gives us every blessing of heaven. That's what he does for her and for us too. He will raise our bodies from the grave and we'll be in glory. He pours out everything for us, his very life, that we have life with him. Now that's hospitality. She kisses his feet. He does a lot more. He gives you a kiss today. A wonderful kiss of love. It's called communion, where he puts himself to our lips and to our mouths. It's a kiss from your husband, your Lord. "I love you. I forgive you. You're mine. Your sins are removed, cast away. Where did your sins go? They went on Jesus. He took them away." So a kiss of peace, a kiss of forgiveness as the Lord touches your lips and enters your mouth today with the forgiveness of sins. That's hospitality. The Lord takes over. I read in Reader's Digest where various people gave advice to college graduates, high school graduates. You know, what advice do you give to a high school graduate, a college graduate? And what was, you know, basic advice? One person writes, "Shave, use good grammar, be at least 5 minutes early, sit up straight and don't mumble. Good advice. Speak like an adult. Drop wow, man, and like from your vocabulary. That's pretty good advice, I bet. Always give 100% at work and then leave it at work and give 100% at home. Good advice. The top advice was follow your dreams. And right behind that, work hard. Not bad advice at all, fine advice. Here's my advice. Here's my advice in the scriptures, advice, if you will. Believe that someone has worked hard for you. Believe that someone has given 100% for you. And believe that person is Jesus. That's first. We're always thinking, what do I got to do? I got to go work hard, do something. No! Come and receive the hospitality of Jesus. That's what the woman does. Receive the word of forgiveness. When Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven, how does she react? Does she say, am I really forgiven? I doubt it. I don't believe it. No, she's silent, which means she believes it. She doesn't need to hear it anymore. I'm satisfied. I believe it. My sins are forgiven. That's faith. To believe that this Jesus did all the work for you. He gave 100% for you at the cross. Your sins are forgiven because of him. And then after you receive that, you receive the word, receive the sacrament, then go and serve like crazy. Go be a servant with joy and peace. The guilt's away. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to earn points. You're forgiven and saved. Just go serve freely and give your life for God and others. The best hospitality is not Southern hospitality. That's very good, though. The best hospitality is not the woman's hospitality. The best hospitality is the Savior's hospitality that he gives today, the forgiveness of sins, word, sacrament. Come and receive his gifts, his hospitality regularly. That's our work. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray to our God as his children, we pray.